Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal, delicious, independent, non-alcoholic beer. Dry July is soon upon us. If you want to get amongst it, get to heapsnormal.com. Chuck in duty-free at checkout for free shipping around Australia. It's the only one, my year off booze, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's the only one that tastes like a fucking beer. The rest of them, shit ass. Get a Heaps Normal in ya!
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gold
Coast. At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the...
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie, and I'd like to introduce our very first ever special guest.
I'm Harley Breen.
Hey! Come on, you've done radio.
Woo!
Oh, a bit of applause.
So good to be in here with guys that are sober. I'm sober. Luke, sober. It's so good to be sober. I'm about to get on a plane as well.
It's a real nice gear change going from a Heaps Normal non-alcoholic beer live read straight into Harley Breen. The fucking gearbox has fallen out on the toy.
Mate, if I fall over, you won't even be able to find my black box.
The reason you're in here is...
Make all of Harley Breen out of black box, really. If anything.
Makes you think, doesn't it? You boys were a part of Just for Laughs Australia tonight.
Or were we? The edit hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
well,
I
you're
don't
a part
know.
Of the live show.
I don't know about mine. They're fucking cowards. They were very well-lit cowards for my set, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah.
You know him and his review of his own material. He did very well.
Yeah.
Except for his intro.
Except
that
for his
didn't
intro.
Go well.
I was, you guys were at the Malthouse Theatre with multiple 8-cam cameras in a beautiful setup. I was up at Montmorency Football Club with Adam Rosenbarks,
oh, yeah.
Josh Earle, and Katie Wainhouse. I will say this, though, about Josh Earle. Got my fucking name right.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's good.
A little bit different to a TV taping. I got texted about by numerous people while I was at Montmorency.
So I was side of stage
yeah.
because I was after the great Luke Heggie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already there, cocked and loaded, ready to go. And also, you know, very keen to see what he was bringing to the stage
yeah.
and hoping we weren't going to double up yeah. in any way.
Yeah.
And then the host, the great Nath Velvo, was yeah. on stage and having a great time and endeared himself to the audience.
Yeah, as he does.
And had very, very much launched into what I thought was a very confident introduction of the next guest.
Yeah.
Which was on the back of Judith Lucy, which I think would frazzle the most professional MC in the room to be bringing on Judith Lucy, a great stalwart of the Australian comedy industry.
And it's just good to have some fucking back-to-back fireworks of energy, Judith Lucy into Luke Heggie. On your Friday night.
And so he gives it a good, robust, this guy nominated for the biggest award at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Yeah. Please welcome to the stage, Nick Cody.
Your mate.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
And I reckon there was a good 3 or 4 seconds after he said, your name, Nick Cody, that he realised that's not who he was introducing.
Heggie, honestly, there couldn't have been That to, as a name to throw you off, that has to be right up there.
Well, no, you joke about that, but this is not even the first time this has happened this week.
You are shitting me. What?
It happened in Brisbane this week.
No.
I got introduced as Nick Cody.
Fucking hell.
And then, oh, it was by...
Cody's like
it was,
been on the Heath Normals. Look at him.
How many times have you been fucking misintroduced as me? I dare say zero.
I've never had you. I've had Troy Kinney. And yeah, Kinney, right. Troy Kinney and I have spoken about having people come up and go, oi, Cody. Like, Kinney will be walking around and they go, fuck, Nick Cody, mate, love your staffy bit. He's like, oh, I'm Troy Kinney. And they're like, fuck off, mate. And I've had the same for Kinney. Mate, when'd you, I had a guy at the Melbourne Comedy Festival this year who sat through my show, Nick Cody, classic Cody, with those words on a huge backdrop behind me, holding a ticket with Nick Cody, classic Cody written on it, comes up to me outside, Kinney fucking loved it, mate. Kinney, when's your show back on?
Asked you to sign his Nick Cody ticket with Troy Kinney. Can you just try and sign it, Troy Kinney, please?
Yeah. I was like, mate, you got to be fucking kidding me. Nah, man, I love the show. Yeah. No, not that bit. Kinney. Couldn't have made it more apparent that I'm not Kinney for an hour.
I don't know, man.
You got back-to-back, Nick Cody.
Back-to-back. Last weekend in Brisbane, got introduced by Matt Ford, who I love, and it was a genuine mistake, and he felt terrible. I don't give a fuck. But he's like, oh, sorry, man. I was just listening to a podcast on the way here, and I just introduced you as Cody. I'm so sorry. But I got on after he did that, and so we'll keep it calm for whoever the fuck that was.
Mm.
And honestly, tonight, I should have just walked on as Nick Cody because it would have gone better. They liked you. They didn't really like me that much.
Nah, you really sullied my reputation.
I brought your reputation downtown. Yeah. God, after that, they were sitting there going, what the fuck is this?
God, his writing's got it a lot better, but he's a sour cunt. What happened to him?
Yeah.
The kids must be acting
My icy cold can of Coke?
Look, to be fair,
Bieber tickets.
If you put all three of us in a lineup at the moment, you're going to find it very hard to figure out who's who unless you're looking at height.
Yeah. Well, Harley and I do a thing. If one of us is hosting, the other one's not. We always the babushka.
Yes.
And together we are a babushka.
Yes.
We are three parts of a babushka.
Who's coming out of who, though? You know, because you're
Heggie's in between. I'm wider.
You're wider. That's right. Yeah. He's taller. Yeah. So I don't know who's coming out of who. Like both of you are coming out of me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Crouch down. I'm not having anyone coming out of me.
And Blakey's beneath us.
Jesus, good to be a white bloke in comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, boys. Have a good podcast. Bye.
All right, that's the end of Harley Broome by the sounds of things.
Best thing, though, now he's just got to sit here. He's still wearing headphones, having a beer. So the Malt House the other night, though, you filmed your special.
Yeah.
Luke Heggie, you fucking absolutely smashed.
It was all right.
Kicked off a nice 50 minutes later on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So I was doing a little warm-up, you know, bit of material at the start, get the crowd pumped up. That was limited to, I'm going to say, maximum minute and 40 seconds. Just didn't want to push it.
Well, yeah, I got to say, I wasn't in the best of moods coming in.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of fucking people were lifting up five or six banker seats to find some dead shit's phone that she'd dropped down the back of a crack.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, why doesn't she come back tomorrow to get a fucking phone? Because this is already my crowd out on the street for an hour.
Yeah.
They've all left, obviously. And it's just the scabs sitting there. Don't want them.
And Heggie was also building his set.
I fucking put the set on. They're like, oh, we're still doing the lights, are you? Get him in. They can watch the people doing the lights. Mm. Whatever. I was ready to bash.
You had
hard. But I didn't. I fucking just kept it together. And the fucking dickhead who found her phone, I was like, did you find your phone? She goes, yeah, I did. Thanks. Yeah.
Heggie was
did
being, ya? Yeah, Heggie was being such a sarcastic. Did you get your phone, did you? She's like, yeah. Like had no idea. But he's ripping the piss out of it.
What a fucking gift to be a simpleton. Like, I wish I could just go through life as that. Fuck me. What a time.
If that had happened to me, you wouldn't have gotten a word in because I'd be saying sorry on the way in while we're looking for it and on the way out, sorry, fuck, sorry, guys. Sorry, got him an ass. Sorry, God. Sorry,
didn't hear one of them.
Fuck, thanks very much. Nah. I did.
Can you all team up together, every single theatre staff member, and get my phone out of the crack? This guy who's trying to film his show, who cares?
Yeah.
I've got to get my phone.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. What a time to be alive.
I am a free ticket holder. let's stop the next production for me. Hey, Harley, you filmed yours, though. Yes. While you're sitting here, you may as well talk about it. What night were you on?
I just wanted to just tag on the back of that simpleton idea because I've been on that for a while now. Like, I've got a mate who's really simple, and I've said it to a friend of mine, going, I wish I was as simple as him. I remember he broke up with his girlfriend, and to deal with his emotions, he ran his head into a palm tree. Repeatedly.
Did a coconut come down and hit him?
No, but he seemed happier after it.
Yeah,
I was like, what a way to process your emotions.
Yeah.
He's a fine bloke.
Yeah. Queenslander, obviously.
Yeah, he's a Queenslander. Yeah. He's got two trucks.
Yeah.
He's got a jet ski. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's fine. My special was great, mate. I went out there, I started talking, and then an hour later I finished talking.
Right.
And everyone thought it was very funny. And
were you on first? Where were you? Because there was a 6 o'clock show. A 7:30 and a 9.
There was only two shows on my night. It was Sammy J.
That's how you do it. Not too greedy.
That's right. And Sammy J, who is a darling of the ABC, just around the corner from the ABC is where we're recording at the Malt House, he went on and did his fancy songs. And then they took longer to strike his stage than they did to set mine up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that went.
Yeah, big old grand piano.
Yeah, all the paraphernalia that goes with all of that malarkey. Lovely man, but I walked on and did my sound check and it took 30 seconds and told some stories.
Beautiful.
And at the end of it, I walked off stage again.
About time there's just fucking three straight white dudes talking comedy. Fuck yeah. It's taken 120 episodes, but we got here.
You know what else we're really good at? Flying. We know where to sit. We know what to do.
You know what I do for sound checks? I go into theatres every now and then. I'm standing there and they go, I'm just going to stand here and talk about this volume for about an hour and then you can turn off the lights and I can go home. And they go, I'm finished. They go, oh, hang on, wait, is there any,
you didn't
any
hear me.
Dancing or singing or jumping around? I go, nah, I've got some jokes, don't really need to.
And I reckon some techs would find that hilarious and some people would actually quite like that type.
5 out of 6 of you can go home right now. You're sacked.
I bet you when the poor fucking spotlight guy tonight on the chase, we heard Nick Cody go, fuck, he might actually move. I've got to do some work here. He's probably out for a dart. Yeah, the heck he's on. I've left it in the center.
Funny thing, our follow spot guys who do no work for you. They're at the back. They're not up the front of heaven. Yeah. They're not in the room. They're actually sitting at the back. Looking at the follow spot on a digital screen.
Yeah.
I don't know why I told that information, but I found it quite interesting at the time.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Literally. They're behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Well, if you can use a drone to hopefully get the Taliban at a wedding, you can certainly control it. Hopefully.
Look, genuinely, I feel like this is a hostage situation at the moment. I'm just trying to get out of here. Hey, thanks for having me.
It's lovely to have a guest on here.
Yeah, beautiful.
We'll never do it again.
Yeah, he's the first one in person. The last one, I believe it's like for episode 6 or 7, we called Carl Chandler because a fat, lonely, sad man died in Koh Samui.
Yeah.
So we called him your mate. He's actually nailed it. He's done very well.
You're just touching buttons.
Yeah, the Brekkie radio's come out there and his spidey senses.
I knew what it was. Oh.
Woo! All right, that's enough.
See you, boys.
That'll do. See you, mate.
All right, we're back. Harley has fucked off into the night. Backpack full of
Quite
beers.
Quite frankly, good riddance. I don't like it.
Heggy's all balls.
I was only just getting used to talking to you after 120 hours. And there he is. Fuck off.
Yeah. No. I did notice for the first 90-odd episodes, I'd jump in, you'd stare at me. You know, just let me get my fucking... A soliloquy out. The last time I saw you, we spoke about it in the intro, was at Sydney Airport, where I'd come from a gig, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, Heggy. Comedy, what a bloody great up and down, topsy-turvy world it can be. I was at a gig for 20 people downstairs in a room next to the State Theatre, where a month before we'd opened for American superstar Tim Dillon in front of 2,000 people.
Yeah. Oh, it really got a way of kicking in your teeth, doesn't it, comedy? I had so many things like this. So many nights of my life have been just like that. I went one time, I did a gig at the Opera House supporting Steve Merchant fairly early on.
Yeah.
Had to do like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hard, but it went well. And then that was the last night of his tour. And downstairs in the opera bar, they'd fenced off a section for him and his VIPs. And I was in that just flogging sausage rolls and shit. And then eventually
Is that the only time you've been VIP that's not pokies related?
Absolutely. Even then, I've never been in a VIP pokey. And eventually they all peeled off. The people are like, see you later. I said, yes, yes, yes. And then he walked off with a young woman under each arm. And then I turned around. I'm by myself, just shoveling a party pie into my mouth.
Couple in your pocket.
Pretty much under the opera house.
Yeah.
And then I had to go and catch a bus home. And I discovered I didn't have my wallet. I didn't have an Opel card or anything. I was like, fuck. Had to get a free bus home, looking out the window the whole time for the bus pigs. Now I'm going to have to get off at any second and run. Yeah. What a kick in the teeth. Opera house to fucking hobo within minutes.
Oh, man. I think my biggest version of that was 2016. Got to do Conan in the States. And 72 hours later, I got sunburnt. I got sunburned in LA. I've done Conan, got sunburnt, flown from Los Angeles to Canberra to do the Floriade.
Oh, yeah.
Festival, the Tulips one.
Well, not.
Which I've heard is a great festival. But the time I was there, there were monsoon rain.
Yeah.
And I was in a tent and just water dripping on my head and dripping on all the cables and the speakers and everything. And a tech halfway through just came and moved the speaker and picked up some cords and said, just in case it could get electrocuted.
Yeah.
You go, fucking hell. What a 72 hour turnaround. I stumbled on a word, but fuck me. The next gig should be a bit better.
I kind of like it. Like, you know what? This is, you're getting big for your boots, sucked in, fuckhead. This is how it is. You should be like getting free bus rides and running home and so whatever. Oh. Who cares? Stay hungry. Man. Hey,
what is on sale now though, Heggy?
Oh, I have been packaging up t-shirts like it's going out of style. Posted a couple last night at midnight. I was just like, I'll go for a walk at midnight, take the dog out and flog it, like just fill the post box near my joint with t-shirts. Air Jordan and limited edition Larrikin on t-shirts are flying out the door.
Midflightbrawl.com. Click on merch. It's finally working.
Wow.
Sorry for the delay. And I have to apologize personally to you, one Lucas Heggy, for 120 episodes. I've given you shit about your IT capabilities.
Oh.
And I couldn't figure out this fucking Square website. You had it up in 2 minutes.
Well, no.
Yeah, you could have done that before.
Well, I did.
The t-shirts rocked up.
I didn't really. I still got some postage issues. But anyone, like it's still, I'm going to have to get you fixed up. So I've still got $2 postage on everything on my website. Because I'm still selling my albums and my fucking skid marked undies on there. So, you know, it's $2 postage. So I put the price up at the t-shirt. So whatever you do, don't buy 3+ t-shirts. Email me first and we'll sort out something because you're going to get fucking ripped off.
Jesus Christ. I yelled out to my wife, baby's done it.
Nah, I had to put the price up on the t-shirts and keep the postage at $2. So I apologize to anyone who thinks that's a fuck off. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I'll tell you what, a listener though has sorted out my phone. Going to get another few years out of that.
Jesus, yeah. I was. Did we talk about that in the intro last week?
That my phone's fucked.
Yeah.
That's why I got a message on how to fix it.
Beautiful.
Fixed. Check it out. It's just Heggy's
button on his iPhone 6S doesn't work. And if you're unfamiliar with this phone.
It's there now.
The button is the only physical button on the fucking phone.
It's moved.
On the front of the phone.
See? It's there.
Roar's racing. Sent you a message, right?
First class patron just sent me a message going, hey, here's how you do it. He's a massive nerd. He sent me how to do it. And here I am. The button's still fine.
He's got now.
But
got,
there's a floating button somewhere. You can just put it somewhere.
You've got a floating button.
There it is.
Yeah.
Phone for life.
Mate, you've done it.
Yep.
That'll be buried with you. Beautiful.
The other bit of news this week, I saw you post up.
1 million downloads. Whoa. Gosh, we're just fucking really patting each other on the back in this intro here. But 1 million downloads, we did it. That's why we could finally afford a guest. 1 million downloads, we go, all right, we'll open it up. The third mic, and straight away turned into comedy chat. We'll shut it down again.
Yuck, go on.
Thanks to everyone who has listened and told their mates and bloody the message. I think my favorite part of the messages, and they are coming in fucking hot this week because we've got the Jordan Ngoi, the AFL player who grabbed his mate's top there in
Bali. I beg your pardon. I think you find the black dog grabbed his mate's.
Not the black dog, ADHD.
Oh, whatever.
He's picked a good one.
Yeah, okay.
He's picked a good one for a bleak
crazy
one
dog.
There.
Yeah,
the rabid dog, not the black dog, yeah.
The dribbly one. Yeah, okay.
A lot of people, a lot of messages about that. Thank you for your messages. Thanks for telling your mates. Thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. But before this gets earnest, should we just get into this fucking episode?
Damn straight. All right. So this week, mate, we're looking at March 2012.
Oh, hold on. What do I need for this one? Harp, I believe.
Damn straight. Looking at Thomas Cook, RIP, Manchester to Tenerife, classic. Like a comet.
We've taken your notes. Rarely do we listen. Rarely do we listen to tips.
Well, clearly you haven't been listening to me because that's been annoying me since the fucking second time we did it.
Well, you brought the song here. You make it. You made your bed, lie in it.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd fucking extend the bed to a triple bunk and then make me lie in it all day, every day. It's too much. Thomas Cook, classic airline that we've visited before.
Oh, that is atrocious. That's up there with the fucking crab restaurant we ate at in Brisbane.
Yeah.
That made their own track.
But I've never felt like that song sounds getting on any plane.
No.
Let alone Thomas Cook, but obviously other people do. 2012, Manchester Tenerife, what a classic route. But big year for Manchester, 2012. And our bloke today, nowhere near even the worst guy in that town in that year. That'd be a big feat.
That's a good effort.
Oh.
To make it onto this pod and go, man, sorry, guys. I've let my town down. It's not even a podium finish from where I live.
Not even close. It's wall-to-wall tip rats up there. Revered worldwide for having a football team. Yuck. And even their fans around the world, to me, they're no good. Like, imagine being fanatical about a team you've never been there, let alone lived among the filth that you say you love. I've always found that funny about like English football fans who are not English.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I love, like you go to Africa, people say, my brother's Arsenal, me, I'm Tottenham.
Yeah.
You know, why? Yeah. How do you know that, let alone subscribe to that? It's incredible.
Yeah. Carl Chandler, hope you're listening. He's Liverpool, by the way.
Absolute grub. Like you're going to get, you're going
to. I will say though, when I got out of that COVID lockdown, you know, the pandemic, as you call it.
Mm.
First stop, 12:01 a.m. Straight in my car, drove to a pub. Liverpool were playing Chelsea or Man City in some, one of the fucking big Champions League or something. And
the way you say that,
at the Liverpool pub, and it did make me forget the fact that it's quite a dull game for a lot of it. Yeah, good sing-alongs.
You just want to be around people and sing and stuff. You can do that without the fucking hooliganism. Like in a pub full of strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Sunday. Get into it. In a room full of strangers, just screaming at a television in the middle of the night, bashing someone later on. There's better ways of getting community, including church. There's everything. They can just, anyway. 2012 Manchester. Mm-hmm. Don't care about the team, but there's a bloke, Dale Cregan, in Manchester, made a 999 call. That's like 911 for the American listeners. But the phone call, not the date, we can never forget even if we wanted to. Two female police officers. And yes, Nick, they can have authority despite what you said earlier before we fired up the mics. Fiona Bone and Nicola Hughes, 32 and 23 respectively.
You
their
think
ages.
That's bad? You said together they make one actual cop. So I don't know. Who's worse?
Fiona and Nicola were 32 and 23 respectively. Their ages are a palindrome.
Yeah.
So makes you think, doesn't it?
Another live one. Back to back weeks.
I got to say it every week now. Somewhere. just slide it in there. They responded to a burglary that was being reported to find Dale, who'd
by the way, I do love the English for still referring to it as a burglary.
Yeah.
Versus we've slipped down to break and enter.
Yeah.
You know?
Break and enter. Put a T in there, you're wrong. You're
break
posh,
and enter.
Eh? You think you're
break
better
and
than
enter. One word. Break the letter N, then E, double N-A. Break and enter.
What do you make of fish hyphen, not hyphen, sorry, apostrophe N, apostrophe chips? What do you make of that? You having that?
Yeah, on a sign out the front in a coastal town, yes.
I'll just have an and or an ampersand myself. N, not for me. Anything N, I'm not going in. Putt N games.
Except wrong.
No, I'll play wrong N.
Wrong N.
That's UN.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought there was apostrophe N. Wrong N.
Wrong N. That's UN, and you should know that. They responded to the burglary only to find Dale, who placed the call, opening fire on them and chucking a grenade.
Fucking hell.
He didn't like the filth. Who does? But he killed two of them.
Well, there only were two.
I know, but I mean. Like a sunset dying away. Enough.
Two.
No.
Dad's upset.
But they weren't even armed. Like, they're not armed over there, are they? They just threw a few wet tennis balls or something at him. I don't know. What a fucking coward, though. Terrible bloke.
Shit
bloke. Our hero today, though, on a lighter note, is a man called John Hawkins of Newton Le Willows, Merseyside, between Manchester and St. Helens.
Hey, fuck it. That, all of that, except Manchester, sounds good. Merseyside, St. Helens.
St. Helens. Well,
it's probably a big golf
check
course.
Out some, nah,
it's quite green.
Check
rolling
out.
Hills.
Meet one person from any of them, you won't be saying this. You know,
we've
who
got
else?
To do live shows. In the UK one day.
Oh, not up here. Not up there. Absolutely not. We're getting bashed and they'll take this thing. You know who else is from Newton Le Willows?
Rick Astley.
What a career. I mean, I don't know any other essentially one-hit wonder could have had such longevity in music. Incredible.
Mate, he did well... Because there was the Rickrolled. Remember that?
That's only recent. Like, but yeah.
Yeah, 10 years ago, maybe.
Well, that's fairly recent.
Yeah, so I guess.
But.
Even longer. 14 years ago, I still remember this style, this story. Rickrolling ruins the Mets vote. So Rickrolling, if you don't know, it's unsuspecting web surfers get tricked into watching one hit wonder. Rick Astley's one hit, never going to give you up. The New York Mets baseball team decided to pick a new theme song to be played during the eighth inning of their games, and the team's marketing department decided to let fans vote for their favorite tune.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Choices included classics like John Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer and Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline.
Nah.
Everyone just got on board and in the other box wrote, Rick Astley, never going to give you up. Millions. There
Probably
were over 5
good.
Million votes for Rick Astley.
Well, if those are the only three options, then fair enough. Good on you, Rick.
Just shut it down.
I don't know
just
what did he get out of that, though? Does he do appearances now? And he must get something out of that.
Oh, surely he'd be just shifting units afterwards. It's like Kate Bush with her song that's in the
Wuthering
new.
Wuthering Heights.
No.
Running Up That Hill.
Running Up That Hill. It's in season 4 of Stranger Things, and it's gone fucking bunter. It's number one in Australia on the Billboard charts.
What a. Honestly. Like what's, I mean, good. I like Kate Bush, but can you not think up something new?
Well, she didn't do it.
I'm not blaming her.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the public.
Well,
who
a
are
lot
responsible
of the people that watch
everything, let's face
but
it.
But the people that watch Stranger Things, a show that's set in the early 80s, have never heard that song. the youth. The youth are getting around Kate Bush. I thought that'd be something you'd be a fan of. Go, there they go.
I'm very happy for Kate Bush,
mm-hmm.
but also do something. Anything other than just being a blob watching television.
We should make this song massive. Ask around in the old Bay City.
Ask what's good and we say Bay City. No, we shouldn't. Anyway, Tenerife. Plane was heading to Tenerife. Classic. Quite a few Brits die in Tenerife.
Mm.
And from what I've read recently, most of them.
Is it like injured dogs that just walk out into the fucking woods?
Yeah, but I'm 34 years old now. I think I've done enough. I'm getting on a plane to Tenerife.
Dialysis isn't for me. I'm off to Spain.
I'm not buying the return. Most of them are described as just living their best life.
Yeah.
And I quote, like, what an amazing thing. He was just living his best life. Now he's gone. All right.
In an Irish pub.
And fair enough. They don't just let any old dickhead go to Tenerife. They punch each other on the streets there a fair bit. Locals at these sort of joints, I've always thought this, that they must be bemused by the behaviour. I sometimes think about how much locals in any of these places just fucking hate white people.
Oh, it's like in Thailand. With good reason. In Thailand, I've seen like a Chelsea bar and an Arsenal bar.
Oh, fuck. they shouldn't put that up. They shouldn't enable these people.
Just sunburn on their fresh tats, 10 changs in, time to throw some kicks.
Cruise ships would be the worst when they dock, probably. Like imagine being a New Vanuatu, just minding your own business, and then every few days a fucking container of just buffet lovers darken your horizon. Like, where's the sun? Oh, it's fucking gone square. And they get off and walk through the markets just vomiting all over your carver and punching each other. You're just going to go, oh, I need the money.
I wonder if there's like a tsunami-style warning. Here they come.
It's a party music. You could hear that from miles away, I reckon.
Just get down there and sell Lays for $40.
Oh,
make a killing.
Fuck. The pervading attitude is, though, like without us haggling them down on the price of a coffee bean, they wouldn't survive. They'd be fine if we never went there. Some of them must have really enjoyed the peace that came with the SARS COVID-19 fantasy of the last few years.
Yeah.
I just go, thank fuck. We just got ourselves now. This is what it should have been all along.
I read an article about in Bali, how excited a lot of the locals were for Bali to open back up because it's so tourism. They heavily rely on tourism. But it's you forgot. Oh, well, I reckon this article will change.
There must be others sitting there going, nah, we're fine without them. We're still alive.
But I actually feel bad for those because they're the ones that go, fuck, we won't live near the beach. We'll live up in the hills. And then your favourite yoga perverts go and run retreats up there. Oh, fuck, these are even worse. At least I know what the ones down at the bottom want.
Oh.
A drink and a fight, they say it.
Fuck, yeah. I mean, I saw I've been reading about Tenerife. In Tenerife, one bloke died in a street brawl from a heart attack. Like a sunset. He's 53. Like not many above 50s are punching on in a street fight, are they? Like I'm heading that direction, but like,
is that rare? Pretty early for a heart attack and pretty late for a street fight.
Yeah, it's
the Venn diagram just kisses.
I'm
53 and the stars have aligned for this bloke.
Yeah. Manchester types, they do it well into their 70s, just punching each other. No qualms. Who cares? John Hawkins, our bloke, not the only Hawkins to have a problem with Thomas Cook. In 2018, Nick Hawkins, no relation, was holidaying on a package deal in Egypt.
Isn't there, though?
Well, could be. He was on a package deal in Egypt when a 60-year-old couple in the same hotel just died from salmonella poisoning. Nick got back to the UK after his 7-day trip, and he got diagnosed with salmonella. He knew it was from the hotel. Why? Because he didn't eat anywhere else.
A true tip.
What if?
If you go overseas and just eat at the hotel, you are a tip rat.
Oh, massive cheap Bevan loser. Not eating one crumb of food that wasn't in the package. Fuck up. You shouldn't be allowed to get on a plane.
But then I know people who go to resorts, all-inclusive resorts or whatever, Yeah. And they'll just eat at the – they'll just have – whatever the hotel's got, a few different restaurants, just eat there. Defeating, to me, the whole purpose of fucking going overseas, which is eating different stuff in different locations.
Yeah. Shit yourself. Who cares?
Oh.
Go and do something.
First thing, I remember my dad and I going to Thailand for the little Dum Dum Club thing. Dad straight to a cart looking for the dodgiest thing. Give me that. Oh, guys, let's lie on this stomach early. We'll sort it out.
When I was in South America, even locals were wondering what I was up to. Like I'd go and just buy a 20-cent bowl of tripe or something off the side of the road, and someone would just wipe the bowl on the dress that was over their knee just to clean the bowl.
Perfect.
Give me that. And I shit myself so many times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whatever. Got a tapeworm. Who cares?
You did too,
eat
didn't
local.
You? You got a tapeworm.
Yeah.
Looking good though. So there you go. Swings and roundabouts.
Still, I've just kept it this whole time just to stave off the aging process.
Funded. You're always
fat.
Just eating driveway fucking chickens and sinking piss late at night. How's he do it? None of it's going in him.
Nick Hawkins got 2,000 pounds from Thomas Cook in Compo.
4,000 AUD.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, it's about $4,000. Australian. John Hawkins, though, we're getting to him finally. He was traveling with his family and he was on the plane. He was asked to stop shouting abuse because that's naturally what he gets on the plane and starts doing because there were children present. We've got to think of the children, that old chestnut.
Maybe he was yelling at them though.
No, definitely not. I'm in two minds here. Obviously, if everyone's having a laugh at the expense of someone, then kids shouldn't see that. But this sort of thing, I wouldn't mind betting my kids would be scared of someone if they're aggressively yelling at someone else and they're not going to start doing it as a result. They're not going to go, oh, that guy's yelling. That lunatic is yelling. I'm going to grow up and be a lunatic who yells. Doesn't happen. I wouldn't mind my kids seeing a bit of mongrel out in public anyway. Got to see it sometime. John's response was, I don't give a fuck about children. I've got children of my own.
Great.
They were right there. The effects of swearing in front of kids had a little look-see. I did some reading, and overwhelmingly, the consensus now is that it's fine to do. The only problems arise when the swearing is impregnated with hate, such as John Hawkins and his actual hate speech. casual swearing around children is only looked down upon as part of a class issue, and often a religious one too. Around preteens and teens, it is said by many scientists, it doesn't matter. They'll make up their own fucking minds, grow up.
Yeah.
So swear away, everyone.
Of course.
Who cares?
Don't do too much. Probably like wine with dinner.
Yeah.
Couple's all right.
Just in moderation.
Yeah.
in comedy, that's one of my pet hates, I reckon, is to just have people say you shouldn't swear.
Oh.
That's, I know someone who's really funny. Wow. Doesn't have to swear.
Yeah.
So why are you doing it? Finds a, you know, fuck.
Well, it was like that corporate gig I did in Sydney. They're like, you're going to swear too much? Probably.
Mm.
Okay. Have you watched all my clips online? Yep. Did I swear in those? Yep. Mm. Who are you hiring?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be doing that.
Man, auditions now for anything, and I don't get many, obviously, but when I do get them, straight back with a, you want a self-tape? Here's a link to 3 YouTube clips. Have a go at them. That's what I sound like. That's what I look like. That's the sort of thing I say. Fuck off. Same result. Lower classes swear much more as a general rule throughout history, but who cares? Fucking grow up. It's a publication, right? And this guy, John Hawkins, will get to the sort of, like he was yelling slurs at people on the plane.
Come on, John.
Wasn't great. Publication.
On the way to a holiday.
Yeah.
So much for the living relaxing the vibes of... We're heading off to Spain.
Well, he got charged up. Got charged up beforehand, and he called. Yeah, he was yelling slurs at the flight attendants. We'll get to that a little bit later on the details. But he was, he wasn't not a happy bloke. But I sent you a picture of him.
I certainly did. How old was he there?
Oh, 30s.
It'll be the when you see this episode come up. It'll be the
man.
Picture.
It was at Christmas dinner. Did you see it?
Yeah.
My goodness. It's all there. Everything you're thinking, it's in there. It's crackers, two of them, crackers next to him. There's a he's fucking maggot, pouring himself a drink, and the meal. Oh, have a go at the meal. anyway, he was into the flight attendants, just telling them to fuck off and calling them queers and what have you. There's a publication called The Pink News, which reported that in 2012, a 32-year-old man endangered the safety of an aircraft when he yelled homophobic slurs at stewards on a flight to Tenerife. The flight had to return to the UK to get him off. Didn't even get far enough to go, fuck this, we're going back. He's gone.
Did it endanger the safety of an aircraft?
No.
I've seen every air crash investigations. Yeah. Someone yelled over the emergency exit, over the wing. No. Nah.
The plane didn't buckle.
Conrad beeped that.
Not saying it's great,
yeah,
but it didn't endanger the plane. Is it? It's a term, pink dollar. Is that still in circulation? I haven't heard it for a while.
Probably. What was?
I imagine it's out of vogue or this problematic.
Month, Pride Month. I've seen a lot of clips online.
Mm.
Gay comics doing great stuff about companies. Just all of a sudden, being pro Pride. Yeah. And go, we can see through it. You fucking losers.
Oh, I bloody love the gays. It's good for business.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. Hard to keep up though, isn't it? I wouldn't have heard the term pink dollar for so long.
Mm.
Surprised to see pink news. John, you got dropped back in the arc and ended up in Minshull Street Crown Court in Manchester.
Wow.
I had a sticky beak here. A lot goes through there. Yeah. An awful lot. I don't know.
So Crown Court. Maybe that's where Crown Lager's from.
Oh. Slightly better than VB Court.
Crownies Court.
The Manchester, you must have clocked this as a news outlet, the Manchester Evening News. Mm. That's an interesting read. Mostly dodgy bastards getting caught doing what they do up there. I checked out the court list for Manshull Street. Pretty good.
Hold on. Let me get the dinger ready.
You won't need a dinger.
No,
it's fine. It's just a few classic Manchester characters. Just last week, Mason Yates, a loner who was bullied at school, was jailed for 30 months for being, in his own words, a literal Nazi.
Oh,
he's only a kid. His lawyer said he got isolated when COVID was invented and spent too much time online learning about bombs, knife attacks, and reading the White Resistance Manual.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah. Quite clearly not his fault.
Can't be doing that.
It's COVID again, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the algorithm pushing him towards that.
COVID did that.
You're just trying to learn how to make a grenade. All of a sudden, the bloody algorithm. Sending you all this extra stuff. Don't need that.
Cocaine ring dealer. A bunch of abusers. A bloke stalking a Macca's employee. And another big fat red. This is like they put a six pack up on the Manchester Evening News. You got six six crims. Crims of the week.
Oh, what, and photoshopped them over the beers?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just talking six. Oh. I say six pack because it's six actual mugshots. Okay.
Sorry, I thought they had their own little labels on individual stubbies.
That'd be good.
Someone's busy.
That'd be great. And the judge has to crack one each time he does a case. Another big fat racist went to the big house last week for coward punching a bloke while drunk. He said,
"When else did you do it?"
He said, "Because he was pissed, he didn't really mean it." So
yeah.
Fair enough. Hawkins' defense.
Hey, if it's good enough for footy players. Should be good enough for just a bloke getting around Manchester.
One set of rules for 150-kilo guys that run full tilt at each other head first every weekend. One set of rules for the rest of us. Hawkins' defence said John suffered chronic pain as a result of an accident, leaving him with impaired mobility. So it wasn't really him yelling offensive shit at flight attendants. It was pain. Pain did it.
Which is just weakness leaving the body.
Wow.
If I'm led to believe what's written on the gym walls.
John had a reasonable amount of weakness leaving the body because he had a car accident in 1999. He's probably at a big party given the year. He attributed his behaviour to a combo of alcohol and painkillers.
Yeah, and the Y2K bug got in there.
Yeah, got Y2K. Early onset Y2K got him. John must have never been told to not get pissed and take painkillers at the same time.
Oh, fuck.
8 months in the clink for that.
Wow.
Little turnaround. Fuck off, John. So that was him in 2012. Right?
Yeah.
Fast forward to 15 July 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Thomson Airlines, Malaga to Manchester.
Oh, jeez. The Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, who's on this flight? after some well-deserved R&R in the south of Spain, Johnny Hawkins.
He's back.
He's back again. John's had a little tipple pre-flight, 10 days worth, in fact, as is his right. A couple of drinky poos. He's got on a 2.5-hour flight and immediately pretty much been told that they wouldn't be giving him any booze, and he wasn't having that. He's from Merseyside. How dare you cut off John? Captain came out of the cockpit to warn him.
You reckon that's the type of flight where the pilots, even again, it doesn't make financial sense, but the planes can go quicker a lot of the time, but due to scheduling and everything, they might slow it down.
Yeah.
You reckon that's one of those ones they are just fucking punching it? Like, let's just get there.
Oh.
The longer we'll this is time in the air.
Yeah. That's always annoyed me. We'll make up some time in the air. No. Bullshit. Do it from the start. Yeah, for sure. They wanted to get him there. He's got on the flight and he's been told he wouldn't have any booze. The captain came out of the cockpit to warn him about his behaviour. And what do you reckon John called the captain?
Oh, good guess.
Have a go. You're going to say something offensive and grow up, everyone, because yeah. It is. So hit me.
It's going to be 6 letters.
7 letters.
Ooh.
He called him A.
Oh, 7. Spastic.
Yes.
Where's that wordle? Where's offensive wordle?
Oh, man. Another passenger tried to tell John to calm down. John said 3 words to him.
Oh, fuck up, mate.
Fuck
off, mate.
Not mate, dickhead.
Fuck off, dickhead.
Fuck off, dickhead. A flight attendant. He got in on the action.
Yeah.
Survey says.
You fuck off too.
You ain't get it. Go on. Bye, fucking queer.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, they'd been warned about, you know, the chronic pain sufferer. Yeah. So partly their fault. And since then, since his previous fucking Thomas Cook incident, he developed a tumour on his spine in 2015. Oh, so that'll ramp up the homophobia. Yeah. From a medical perspective.
Of course.
Generally. F.A., Mark Platt, 15 years in the job.
Yeah.
He was aware.
John, I was never homophobic until I didn't get my skin checked that year.
Damn straight. Yeah.
Now I've got malignant homophobia. Don't know if that's how it works.
Chronic pain, did it? Mark Platt was aware that John shouldn't be served, and he said to him, this is what he said to John. Alcohol, medication, and altitude don't mix. Never a truer word, truer sentence said.
Yeah, fucked. Well, you're trying to wreck our jobs.
Mark Platt.
They do mix, and they mix a lot. That is actually that's actually the recipe for this entire podcast.
It's the only reason I'm allowed to pay the rent. John said, you think you're fucking doctors. Mark felt personally attacked already. And that's when John called him a queer. Off-duty copper. And you never really hear that term and think that they ever go on holiday until you hear the term off-duty copper when they get involved in something.
If you're an off-duty cop in Manchester and you're trying to get away from it all, don't go to Spain.
Oh,
where you're just seeing the same people you arrest at work but burnt.
Man.
But the sun's out.
Cops. Cops, rather, they only go on holidays when crime does, I assume. Summer. Off-duty police officer, Alice Holden. And yes, Nick, not all police women are strippers.
Oh, Jesus.
She recounted the whole thing. This was her take on it. She said, he called my partner a dickhead and said he would have him when we stepped off the flight.
Wow.
I'm going to have you. What a great. He called the captain a spastic and he called one of the cabin crew queer. So, you know, checks out. They
that
got
that bloody tumour.
Oh, the tumour. They got that tumour to Manchester, quick sticks.
Mm.
Said the tumour's going to kick off again in a second. We'd better get him to Manchester. Let's burn all the fuel. Imagine they tried to divert and everywhere just said, nah, don't want him. He's your problem. Keep the tumour on the fucking plane. Coppers were at the other end to help cabin crew. John was not arrested.
Wow.
Due to his medical condition. Pain. Wow. Remember?
Yeah.
Pain.
Oh, of course.
So
they arrested that.
They did interview him at which point he said he'd done nothing wrong. Leave me alone. John said, I told them I've not had a drink. I'm ill. I was just making these noises that I can't help. And those noises are, fuck off, you're spastic, you're a queer, etc. Yeah. Like, I mean, when I'm in pain, I don't even think the sort of things I say.
Yeah.
They were making me so embarrassed.
Groans. I believe that comes under.
He said, I was holding my hand over my mouth and then saying sorry. It was more for my wife and my daughter. My wife and my kids were going through this all because I'm disabled. We got picked on holiday, in the airport and on the plane. I've never felt so embarrassed in my life. I wish I wasn't disabled.
He's jumped on that early.
Like, deep down, I reckon most people have the same wish.
Yeah.
Really. But he, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to.
And they're also not long-term pain suffering sentences. That's a more acute stub your toe. I'll throw that out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you say to a long-term pain sufferer, you can't have any more beers. He can't be responsible for what he's going to say. He's in pain. For his troubles, John got a six-month suspended sentence.
Yeah.
And he had to pay £300 to the Mark Platt, the guy he'd abused with a slur.
What about the pilot?
Nothing to the pilot.
Oh.
Fine. Whatever. Seems you can call someone something if they're not. And £415 in court costs. That's it.
Wow.
Pilot walks away empty-handed.
Also, I feel bad for the flight attendant for numerous reasons there, but one, that the trauma he's gone through, it isn't worth as much as just the fucking admin on the forms.
Yeah.
Like the cork. Sorry, mate, we had to stamp some of these, print some stuff out.
Yeah.
That's probably way worse than what you suffered.
Man, a Thompson Airways pilot wouldn't be on that much money. Probably earning the same money as the FA. Yeah. Man, you call a guy.
They're splitting the drinks cart profit.
They should get some. How many times can he do this? Like, he's on the 4-year plan currently. Well, 4 or 5 years. He's
the
due.
Olympics.
He's due now for another. Also, 8 months in the clink the first time where he definitely, and this is categorical, was not rehabilitated.
Yeah.
Like he's done exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
On a airline that is named nearly the same thing 4 years later.
How long until we've spun it around? You thought I was the fuckhead. Well, actually, I've got ADD.
Mm.
How long until a criminal, the recidivism rate is massive in certain crimes. Someone gets out, does it again, and then sues the jail. Go, you're meant to rehabilitate me. You let me out saying I was fine.
Yeah.
That's your fault.
I should have been in there the whole time.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's not outside of the realms of possibility. We joke about it, but I mean, it's incredible. Like the second offence, he got nothing.
Yeah.
He's not well. Like, not bad value. Good size for Johnny the second time. Yeah. I do something the second time, it's worse.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely. Third time, they'll probably just tell me he can file a fucking plane if he wants and call for FA's poofs. On the loudspeaker. Like how is his next one going to be? He's been told it's cool. Like you're moving up the scale, buddy.
Or do you reckon it's the first time they felt the 8 months was too much of a punishment? So now the second time they go, oh, well, we have.
Should have been four
across.
The first time, mate. Just give you four now. Next time will be four. No, I don't think so. I think next time he's got rewarded.
He's got credit.
Yeah. By the look of him, don't have to be next time. Like he's not looking great.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't be spacing things 4 years apart if I look like this bloke. Bring that in.
Fuck. Oh, man.
Bring that window right in.
Johnny Hawkins, living the dream. Thompson Air has been rebranded as TUI. So hopefully John gets on that for the trifecta. Hopefully they won't have any info on him because they clearly don't talk to each other, these fucking airlines. And he's straight back in on the same route doing the same thing exactly 4 years later. Fuck, pretty good.
Where's their watch list? Where's the Tip Rat watch list? You know? Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Conrad, thanks for editing that. You'd be quite busy there, I reckon.
Leave it in, you'll be right.
Harley Breen, our first ever guest, in-studio guest. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to all you legends for listening in. Once again, we've got merch now, T-shirts up at midflightbrawl.com. We've got live shows coming up in Tassie, Hobart, Launceston, the 15th and 16th
of July. Get around those and send us a message at Midflight Brawl on Instagram. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
See you, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.